How is your health been recently?
What, since 3 o'clock this afternoon when I saw you? See, I could be a vampire, right? I could be. And you have to literally invite me, otherwise I could... I mean, anyway, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm not a vampire, so... although I do suck sometimes.
I am Roz. Joining me is my co-host Ian, and together making our decision with a white plume of smoke out the top of the building, tonight we are attempting to drink Nova Scotia dry. I don't have as much Scottish drapery, paraphernalia, clothing as I feel I probably should slash might, but... I don't have a thick Scottish accent. I wasn't raised there. I do have a pretty thick Scottish lineage. But tonight we are drinking Scotch ales, specifically, and one that does say it's the wee heavy from Sea Level, which I did drink once before on the show, but it was 4 years ago. So I thought, hey, since I think they've actually re-released it. I saw a post saying just 4 months ago, Sea Level. Millstone Harvest Brew House was putting out the Scotch Ale again. I said, yeah, well, we've got to have that one again. Let's just have it again. Mostly because we've got the one from Nine Locks as well. So, something to compare to. We've got two Scotch Ales.
I have drunk a fair amount of Scotch Ale in the past.
Okay.
But I don't know whether I've drunk any here. Huh. I can't recall. With you, I'm not sure if I have.
We've had a couple. Oh, sorry. Oh my goodness. Sorry.
Yeah. You've had a long day, by the sounds of things.
No, not really. Smokehouse. Oh, I also had a wee heavy Scotch Ale at a smokehouse that I really enjoyed, and you apparently didn't get a judging in on that one, so that was, I think that was kind of early as well. Haven't done them in a while, because I guess there's just not a lot of these.
Mm. Yeah, not lying around.
This is the elusive Bock, or brown ale as well, but I appreciate that they're there.
Okay. Talking of Tim, I brought him one of these little things back from Edinburgh last year. One of these little things.
A sporran?
A sporran. He wanted a sporran to complete his ensemble for when he's doing his Scottish evenings, and I found one in a. We found one a lovely little back. Street second-hand antique store in Edinburgh.
The Diagon Alley of Scotland.
Yeah, it was really cool. I thought, let's get that. I don't know, it was like 30 quid or something. Yeah, it was very, very cool. And so he's got the entire ensemble. Now, what do they call them? Clan, the kilt is that he has. I have no idea, but has Tim got any Scottish in him?
I don't think Valalee is much of a Scottish name, but you never know.
Italian, isn't it?
Nova Scotians. We've talked about this before. They just, they put on the garb, the robe, and whatever sells your product, do whatever you can. Which is why, and I think that's why, since I piss and moan about that all the time, that's probably why I don't own any, I can't put on my I Love Scotland shirt, hat, bonnet, whatever. I mean, what is it other than a thick, honestly... I think somewhere, or I may have gotten rid of it at some point, a friend of mine gave me a red tartan cap with a red fake beard attached to it. So you put that kind of in front of your face.
Yes. The tam o'
shanter. That.
Yeah. But... Yeah, the fake beard. Is it a ginger beard? Was it a big red beard in front of it? Because that's what they normally have.
Yeah.
And you get them in those tacky souvenir stores. In Edinburgh, they're everywhere.
The Highland stuff,
can go back to Southeast Asia wearing their tam o' shanter and their red ginger beard. People probably laugh themselves silly over that. I should think they sell a ton of them.
Regardless, I don't have any of that, so I'm just wearing my regular craft beer T-shirt as best I can. And with some kind of strong percentages here, we will probably dip into the Scottish accents at least once.
Oh, yeah, but it'll end up Russian.
As you do. Oh, I didn't tell
As
you about
do.
That. That's, I have a thing for changing accents mid-sentence was my new-ish thing. But before then, the wee heavy Scotch Ale out of Sea Level and Millstone Harvest Brewhouse up there in Sheffield Mills is coming in the little 355 milliliter can, which is funny because this is one of the few full 20 ounce glasses for Millstone and Sea Level that I've got. So I figure this is going to take up maybe about half, but we'll see. And it is hopping in our first one, our lowest alcohol percentage of 6.3. We're all set for that. There is a little bit of writing on the can, and it's kind of interesting because it seems very, well, there's a horse. What is a horse at the seaside? It seems very Poseidonish, you know, god of the sea, god of horses type thing. So I'm not quite sure what a horse has much to do with a wee heavy Scotch ale.
Can I fill you in on that, mate? Because I know exactly what it is.
All right.
Okay. That is a Kelpie.
It's not a horse?
It is a horse. It's a mythological thing that lives, I think it's a bit of sea, I can't remember. Anyway, if you go online quickly and look up the Kelpies, when Rebecca and I went back to the UK a couple of years ago, we did a tour on a bus for 12 and a half hours from Edinburgh to Inverness to Loch Ness. And on the way, we happened to pass the Kelpies, and there's two huge horses' heads. It's a big statue, not too far outside of Glasgow, alongside the main road, in fact. It's 100 feet high or something, aren't they? And
they
you can see them
tall.
A long way. Yeah, they really are. And they stand astride there. Oh, just the heads, though. They're just the heads.
Yep.
And he was telling us, our guide was filling us all in this mythological creature or mythical creature called the Kelpie. And they're obviously a camera. They're big photo bombs when people are going alongside the motorway there and just outside of Glasgow. And everyone immediately got their cameras out and took photographs of this. Doesn't it say right on the can? Without my glasses on, the Kelpie, like the mythological Kelpies of Scotland.
That's the only description on the can, is like the mythological Kelpies of Scotland, this wee heavy can sneak up on its unsuspecting victims. So was that what your guide was telling you they do?
I think they take the form of anything. They can take the form of anything, if I remember rightly. I'm sure you're reading up on it.
I am.
And drag you down to the depths of the sea or something. I can't remember. Anyway, it's a tale, and that's clearly what this is honoring.
Yeah,
you are reading it. I take it.
They're portrayed as shapeshifters, but it seems that one of their favorite forms is a horse-like creature. But so then why not make it a Kelpie Scotch ale? Why are we anyway? Regardless, I'm not going to question it all that much. Just get right into it. What I like about this is it seems like this is my ideal beer. You know, I kept thinking that maybe a Bock is probably also one of my ideal beers, but this is strong in alcohol percentage, very malty and a little bit sweet. And I think, yeah, that's pretty much what I go for.
No, it ain't. You go for big, bold, hoppy IPAs. That's your thing.
Big, juicy IPA is what I'm going for.
Juicy IPA. It should be good. It should be, shouldn't it?
Here's the other thing I did. So I did a quick search for it because sometimes when you search on the internet for wee heavy, Millstone, Sea Level, and Scotch Ale, you can find, they will announce a thing on their Facebook page or on their Instagram page, and I didn't find one of those, but at the very top, it has an AI overview. So artificial intelligence is, I asked the artificial intelligence of the internet. I'm not just on the internet, I'm asking basically, oh, what's the one from Terminator? Sensodyne.
Oh, I can't remember that.
But Skynet, that's the one.
Yeah, vaguely familiar.
Skynet toothpaste. So, it does say, this beer is known for its full-bodied, easy-drinking character with dark, malty notes. It's characterized by alcohol content, rich malty flavor, potential for caramel, and dried fruit notes. Sounds awesome. The head is no more. I have no head whatsoever, but look how far it is from my 20-ounce pint glass here. You'd send that back.
May I ask how long yours was in? Did you just yank it out of your cool room, or has it been refrigerated, or what?
I yanked it out of the cool room earlier today, but it has been down here in my coalish basement.
Okay.
So it's not like
well
warm.
I made a faux pas because this is my first time drinking beer, and I didn't remove it from the fridge until, oh, I don't know, 2 minutes before we came on air.
Oh.
So this is cold. I that's not good. With a big malty...
An ice cold scotch ale.
I know. I know. I hope I haven't just frozen all the flavor out of it. Yeah, if I could stick it in the microwave now for a few seconds, yeah, I'll never microwave beer.
Throw it
but,
on a...
Yeah, I don't know how it's
going
to...
on the stovetop for a few minutes.
Okay.
Drink this like a...
Like a mead.
Like a mulled wine. I have never had warm mead. Ooh, that would be kind of good. I've had room temperature mead. It's quite delicious. Regardless, it smells... You know what? It smells smoky. This smells a very dark kind of and rum finish. My question, because the Scotch ale always makes me think of a flavor of... It's already got that whiskey flavor to it. Am I wrong, or is that just what happens when caramel and grain all kind of come together?
I don't know about whiskey. I don't necessarily think it's going to be boozy.
Okay.
But, I mean, they're all quite strong, yes. A little heavy, yes. I'm not sure whether or not they're necessarily... boozy, whiskey-ish or something. I'm not necessarily, no. Very malty, usually. Thick. But I don't think necessarily boozy. And this one doesn't smell boozy to me.
Oh, it doesn't? Okay, mine smells a little boozy. But I like that flavor. I love that.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Me too. Yeah. Those big boozy stouts that we've tried recently. Oh, I love all that. The Imperials as well. Wonderful.
I need a case of 12 of these to cost the exact same amount as a case of Toller Gold, and I'd be happy as a clam.
Yeah.
All set, shall we? Cheers.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm.
Dark, dark. Did you get dark chocolate immediately? It's slightly dissipated. Has it? A little bit. Rebecca.
Oh, it sticks.
Oh my God.
It sticks.
Yeah.
And there's some sort of stone fruit. I wouldn't put my hand on cherry, but there's this little sweetness of some sort of fruit sweetness, but it's not obvious, but it mixes so well with the sweet. Oof. Oh, my.
It's only a 355 can. This is a real shame. Have we got time to nip out and get two more?
I think so.
Wow.
Oh, this is... Wow.
Mm.
I feel like that's a different recipe. So maybe they've been updating things, and one of these years, I am going to strap them down and force them to have a conversation with me about all of the Millstone beers that we've had. Because it's the most annoying thing. They're one of the breweries that I know the staff and the owner and everybody. I know everybody involved personally, but I can't get them to agree to come on for an evening and come and have a chat. So obviously I'm doing something. Maybe I smell. I don't know.
I've never noticed. I think this is a little... It's quite delicious, but I don't think it tastes... It's not what I was expecting from a Scotch ale.
Okay. Now, remember, yours is ice cold.
That is true.
I think it's exactly what I was expecting in a Scotch ale.
Is it?
Mm.
It's slightly more portery and stouty than I would have expected a Scotch ale to be.
Oh.
To me, it's still like a very strong, bitter, malty bitter. And this is more... This is, doesn't quite have that body that I was expecting from
really?
From
that's too bad. You wanted a lighter or a heavier body?
A lighter body.
Oh.
I'm not saying less alcohol. I'm not saying less malty, but the body itself to me is more like a porter or a stout than an ale, a traditional Scotch ale, which I was expecting. For a start, it's much, much darker than I would have expected as well.
It's near pitch. Yes. So
yes, it is. Which again is a little unusual. Like I say, I mean, I have drunk a fair few Scotch ales down the years. It's not that it's not tasty. It really is tasty, but it's not quite what I was expecting from a Scotch ale. Interesting. Chocolate, yes.
Very
malt,
oh yes.
Very much so. It's rounded. There's no lingering aftertaste, but I'm still got a chocolatey, malty thing going on afterwards. But not what I would expect from a Scotch ale.
Now, okay, so on the sea level thing, on the AI seems to think that it was going to come out as being full-bodied. So maybe not a traditional Scotch. Maybe a traditional Scotch ale is light-bodied, because here's the thing that I'm looking up. I immediately went along to, you know, the case, the crate of, excuse me, beer supplies that I get and make beer here in my house.
Yeah.
And I've made two now. I've made the Irish Stout and I've made the Black IPA. And I now say to myself, if I want a steady supply of lots and lots of Scotch ale, why don't I just make Scotch ale? So I've looked it up and here we are. The Brewer's Best Scottish Ale is full of caramel malts, blah, 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 chocolate malt, roast barley, touch of smoked malt to bring this full-bodied malty ale. And then it says expected ABV between 3 and 3.5. And I'm sorry.
Really?
You, huh?
3 and 3.5%. That, hang on, who told you that? The AI at the top of the screen.
No. This is what's expected at the brewing supply box. Like if I were to buy the box and brew this myself, it would suggest that. Now the AI. The AI seem to think that typically around 6.3% is kind of funny, because 6.3% is exactly what it is. So the artificial intelligence is far more intelligent. But, well,
yeah, that makes sense. 3.5% with a no. That's the lightest beer you can possibly.
Almost
child friendly, and that's not what Scotch ale's going
to
be.
I'll have to look that up another time and try to see, because when I made the Black IPA, I was expecting it to be a little bit, you know, to be rather strong, and I think it came out. The math I did on it was it is a 5% Black IPA, and I went, I kind of want to make something that totally knocks my sock up, my socks off. Maybe I should just be making moonshine in the corner.
It really is chocolatey. It's a dark chocolate, roasty, malty, delightful beer.
This is
just not what I was expecting when I opened the can.
No, if it had said, oh, here you go, have a, I don't know, have a chocolate. A strong chocolate stout, you know, an imperial stout. That is almost exactly what this tastes like. This is a light imperial stout, which is so interesting.
I wouldn't disagree with that. It's got certainly got the color of a stout. It's a little more see-through. It's a little more porterish to me. That's what I would think. This tastes like a dark chocolate porter.
Mm-hmm.
With the body that it has. Anyway, that's not to decry. I nothing at all. It's very, very nice. Very, very nice. And even with my current infatuation for double IPAs and hoppy IPAs, this is hitting the mark.
This is very, very nice. Very good. I do like this. I'm going to be happy with some 9s for this one. And I think I gave it a 9 the last time I had it, but this is reaching up towards a 9.3.
I was thinking earlier on today, I was thinking when you mentioned there that we could be heading for a bit of a deluge, and I was seeing we could get some heavy rain, etc. of the day. Oh. And I was trying to remember, have I ever sat in here? This building has got a metal roof. And when the rain comes down hard, it's like you're sitting in a greenhouse. It's just rattling hard on the roof. And I was thinking to myself, I don't ever recall sitting here doing a podcast with you, struggling to hear you over the rain. It's never happened that it's been raining hard during a podcast in the 4 years that I've been doing this with you.
I'm trying to remember, and I seem to recall once or twice you've said the words, "Can you hear that?" And I believe I said no. But maybe it wasn't like hard, but...
Okay. Well, it's not hard right now. It's just a steady background noise.
Oh,
I don't know if
okay. I think it's
you probably can't hear that where you are in the bowels of your your mansion there.
I try to look outside, and the sun's already gone down, so it's dark, and I'm trying to see if it's raining in the dark, and it's just completely useless. The problem with a 355 can is I need to leave a little bit of this, and I feel like I've only had a little.
You're going to have a little bit of this, aren't you? You're not. Oh, okay. Then I can drink it all. But I'm going to leave. Yeah, I'm going to leave a couple of fingers of this. I don't know why, but I've got a feeling the other one's going to be lighter color than this.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
It is a stronger percentage. So let's have a peek at that. The Nine Locks Brewing Company down in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia has the Scotch Ale, listed as that, 7.1%. And the listing on the side is the same that's on the website. I checked. Reminiscent of the Scottish ales of the 1700s and 1800s, this strong, dark beer with ruby highlights is deeply malty, a smooth body exhibiting caramel with hints of dark grains, leading to a crisp finish. So, the more I look up online about Scotch ales, so Scotch ales and Scottish ales seem to blur a line somewhere where a Scottish ale, everyone says, oh, you want that? And they're supposed to be caramelly and malty and sweet and very much like this. But like the box says, 3.5% if you're brewing it yourself. And I'm like, what? So where are these ones where we get the wee heavy Scotch ale? So where is the concept of the strong Scotch ale coming from? And I don't know. I'm sure Ian Smith would know. He's usually got these answers for me. He tells me about the history of beer making and says things like, why don't you understand the history of absolutely everything in the world? It's going to be on his tombstone. It is much lighter.
It is much lighter. Okay. Oh, yes. Yeah, that's the color. That is the color I've come to expect from a Scotch ale. And that's kind of what I was getting at there. More of a bittery, more of the colour of an old English ale. And I'm sorry to say English, because we're drinking Scotch ale. Mm. I get that. But the same kind of colour. A dark, rich... This looks way more like I'm expecting the colour to be. However, the proof is in pudding. There's no pudding here. Proof is in the taste,
it's
the flavour.
It's pudding colored, there's a lot of head to get through there. It's telling me that a Scotch ale and a Scottish ale are very similar in maltier and whatnot, but the Scotch ale is much higher alcohol content, and a Scottish ale is a much lower alcohol content. So, brew kit Scotch ale. And it keeps sending me to the Scottish ale, an interpretation of the classic Scotch ale that originated in Glasgow, full-bodied, exciting, whatnot.
So can I take it from that then, as I kind of suspected at the top, that I've never tasted a Scotch ale that tasted boozy. Therefore, the intonation that maybe there's Scotch in it, like it's a barrel-aged thing, is nothing. Doesn't mention like whiskey at all, does it? Where?
No. No, but I feel like that's kind of what you're going for with a boozy Scotch ale.
I've eaten lots of Scotch ales.
Strong, dark beers. I'm so curious about this. I'm definitely going to ask our buddy Ian Smith down at Tapestry Beer Bar, 833 Sackville Drive, about this, because I know he's got opinions and theories on everything. When did the traditional Scottish ale become the Scotch ale? Every Scotch ale is a Scottish ale, but not every Scottish ale is a Scotch ale.
And now, where have I heard before with regards to it's Kolsch's, or it was one of those lager.
We're trying to.
We had a deep dive on one of those, didn't we? And it said, "Oh God, that's so familiar." I can't remember what it was, Ross, but it was a lighter. It was a lagery, Kolsch or something, and it was along the same lines as what you've just said. I'm struggling to get this all in my science of beer glass. I think I'm going to do it. But I did notice it said unfiltered, so I like that. So we're going to have a little bit of sediment.
Ooh, it does say at the top.
Gluten around.
It's still, I've got almost all of it in there, but it still does have a see-through qualité about it.
It looks darker when I put it up to the phone, but this is definitely a lighter, like it said, it's redder. It's got an auburn, whatever it is to it, look to it, redder.
And can I say, I'm not getting much of a smell off of it.
Where am I?
Where the sea level one, it to me, yep. My smell, it smelled caramelly, malty. It smelled like that, the booziness to it. It already smelled like a shot of Jack Daniels.
But the can does. If you get a sniff the can, there's something going on there.
A tiny little bit.
A little.
But okay. There we go. I've brimmed the glass. We're holding on for dear life if we're all set. Are you ready to schnief?
Yeah.
Jazz.
Yes. Oh, that is smooth.
Okay.
Smooth. And that is far more what I was expecting to drink, to taste.
That is much lighter. Lighter bodied. But it's a whole...
It's a very different beer. A very different beer. That, to me, tastes what I was expecting from a Scotch ale. Yes.
I'm having a problem because the body of the sea level is still sticking to the inside of my mouth, and I feel like it's affecting my flavor of this, where you're right. This one just washes right down.
It's very, very smooth. Caramel again. Not as malty. I'm not getting any of the chocolatey tastes that I did from the Wee Heavy. This is way more familiar from a Scotch ale. And okay. it's rather strong.
Good.
Yeah.
Strong.
If I got served that in a pub next month in Edinburgh, I'd be perfectly happy with that.
And then they'd say it's 7.1%?
Yeah. And as I understand from my brother who sent me some beer prices recently, he says, it's going to hurt me. He said, I can barely afford to go out for a beer now because he showed me the beer prices at his local. And I thought, oh, yeah. Beer's getting up there as well. It's been scary expensive here, isn't it, for a couple of years, two or three years now. And I looked at it and I thought, well, that's pretty similar over there now.
We're moving into $10 for a pint is about average now.
Yeah, like and then of course you're obligated to tip as well. I mean, you don't have to, but it's a service industry, as I keep getting reminded by various people that work in the service industry. Mm. And if you walk out having not left at least something, you know, you feel daggers in the back of your head if you don't leave something for the person that served you. But then if you're doing that, then you're kissing goodbye to $11 or $12 just for a pint.
Yep.
And it's a bit ouch. You have a couple of pints now, and you've got $25 just gone.
I am all the more thankful to you for convincing me that I needed to get into this home brewing, home beering thing. Because that way, if I go and I spend, that is usually my present, where I get a birthday present, and then you get the whole kit and caboodle, and that's you good for, well, let's see. My last one was 18 liters, and a pint is about a half liter, so what's that? That's roughly 36 pints.
Okay.
No bad.
Cheers.
For an afternoon of a little bit of sweating and work and chemistry and here and there.
Although, of course, the first one came in significantly less than your 3% Scotch ale did. And it was you were giving it to Wesley in his drinky bottle, his sippy cup. Yep.
It was tasty. It was still good. Did I tell you what I've been able to do with it? If I'm sitting down and I'm gonna have my Irish stout. When I sit down with my Irish stout, I will pour a small shot of rum into it.
What a great idea!
Tasty, tasty.
Rebecca just sat down with something quite different. Oh. I'll show you. There we go. That's what she sat down with.
Well,
and that's the Crazy Angus double IPA.
So yep. Breton Brewing, I think, does the Crazy Angus, the jet black can.
It's Oh, it's right. He's got it right there. Oh, is it North Brewing? Oh, I'm sorry. I lied. It's not the double IPA. She actually poured the Bishoom. The Dishoom Dishoom.
Oh, the double Dishoom, yeah.
Right, the Malternate Reality, apparently, maybe, replacement.
I hate to think that I'm spreading rumors, but in my defense, the server at North Brewing was spreading rumors first. But I'm not trying to say that Dishoom Dishoom is replacing the Malternate Reality, nor that it's better, because I disagree with both.
Yeah, me too. This is quite lovely. The other one was too, but it wasn't what I was expecting from a Scotch ale. This is every bit what I was expecting from a Scotch ale, and it's quite lovely.
The sharpness of the alcohol percentage is starting to come through because of the light-bodiedness of the beer, to me. The temperature is probably helping, where yours is, might be a little cooler, so you're missing out, you're not quite getting... when you allow things to come down a little bit and not be icy cold... The differences, yeah, I feel, are more pronounced. And I like being able to not have to go searching for them all. So maybe it's not served in its ideal temperature. Meh. But it allows me to sort of say, ah, yes, okay, we're going for that kind of malty caramel up front. There's an interesting little...
I was
going
to say, there are definitely... It's the caramel here is... it was the chocolate that kind of won out with the sea lemon.
This one is definitely.
If there are chocolate notes, this one's being not smothered. I hate to use the word smothered because it sounds negative, but the caramel is certainly winning. In fact, they probably did. They even mention chocolate notes on this. I doubt they do.
I don't think so. Ruby highlights, okay, whatever that means. Exhibiting caramel, hints of dark grain leading to a crisp finish, not a sharp finish. Whoops.
100%. It does what it says on the tin, in my eyes, and it's really, really good. Nine Locks know a thing or two about brewing beer, don't they?
We haven't had too many, ugh, I don't like that from Nine Locks, but what has come up before, especially from the larger producers, is safety. Now, would you say that, I mean, I wouldn't because it's a 7.1%, but would you say that this is a more safe-tasting Scottish or Scotch ale than the Sea Level, where, I mean, color, back and forth, choosing between the two, you can't really see it exactly, but the Sea Level, the Millstone, comes out like molasses. It is thick, it coats you, and it's got that very... strong, there's a few strong flavors coming through there, whereas Nine Locks, maybe it's because in my mind I love a heavier bodied beer, so every time I try a light bodied beer I feel like something is being withheld from me.
Yeah,
I think it's a personal preference safe? As opposed to, yeah,
what do you mean, can you contextualize? I'm not quite sure what you mean.
I equate full body with full flavor. Where if I taste a light-bodied beer, I taste like the flavor is a little bit, yeah, I'm kind of there, but I'm a little light on the flavor as well.
Right. Okay. I don't know. There you go. That's my answer.
Maybe not. Maybe it's just the fact that it's a light-bodied beer. The flavor is there. Oh, I just got a really sweet.
What was it called? Again, I come back to that crazy alcoholic dessert beer we had a couple of years ago at Christmas, and I've forgotten the name of it. It's the Nanaimo.
Oh, right.
Where that was dangerous because it was just like drinking a dessert.
It was very smooth and it was kind of light. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And each can was 10%. And so therefore, I think. If you drank two of them, thinking this is quite lovely, that was the safety aspect wasn't there.
a different kind of safety.
Yeah, they ought to have had that thing in a yellow luminous can, like a safety jacket, just to make you aware that there was something going on.
Well, that's why I'm always worried about anything we drink from Unfiltered, because Unfiltered Brewing, their logo looks exactly like the explosive warning sticker sign thing. Yeah, and it is. Look, it's got exactly the same number of... Why do they do that? So you're basically saying, try our beer, it's explosive. And the only difference is, because it's a triangle with the explosion happening, but the explosion is coming from a hop plant.
Yeah, and it looks like there's... I've always thought that looked like one of those road signs that looks like loose chippings coming, or that like there's the road surface is breaking down.
Yeah, stuff's going to start falling down.
That's right. You know, I did tell you, didn't I, that I sent you that survey from the university there in, it wasn't Saint Effects, was it? I forget where it was now.
There was that survey on Facebook. You did send me that.
That's right. Anyway, I did fill that out and I sent it and I got my $25 for Amazon. By the way, I've already used that $25 gift token from Amazon and it arrived today. So I've got my power pack back from my stereo system. So at least we have some sound now to our TV and our music again. But that wasn't what I was going to say. This, were actually asking, the survey was about putting warning labels onto cans of beer. They were doing it specifically, really, for the craft ale brewing here in Nova Scotia. I thought it was a really interesting idea because, of course, they were saying we do them on known dangerous products such as, obviously, cigarette packets now. And that only started in the sort of late 80s, 90s, did it not? Where they had to start, where it became a government policy that you had to put down the dangers of your habit. Well, now, of course, that they're arguing that the same should be said, should it not, for beer. So even though we big up all the beers and say it's wonderful and we love our beers, but they said... The way they were putting it was, yeah, we love our beers too. However, should there not be some kind of warning label put on beers as well to point out the dangers of alcohol, of consuming alcohol? And that's what the survey was about. And I thought, you know what? I'd never even thought about it because you just sort of take it as for granted, do you not? Anyone that's drinking alcohol sort of knows. But there again, they knew when they were smoking before the warning label was put on there that there were difficulties. Sorry, there were problems surrounding it. And of course, right now there is a big, I was only reading this week about the new discoveries coming out of vaping. It's, you know, that they're now beginning to sort of, collate the data. And they're saying there is tangible evidence to suggest that there are significant dangers surrounding vaping as well, but there's nothing on vaping, I don't think, to say this is harmful. I don't think so.
I don't think yet. I mean, they do have it. They made it so that you have to be at least a certain age. I forget what it is, 14, yeah. 16. But I will talk out of my buttocks immediately by saying I think alcohol is older than tobacco, beer especially, and beer spent a long time saying, oh, you have to, you know, drink this. And this beer was how they built the pyramids in theory, because they just kept feeding everybody beer. And it's just carbs, carbs, carbs. You're fine. Get out there, you know, drink three beers for lunch and woof, up you go. But tobacco went through a period somewhere in the 70s, 80s where and still, well, I won't say to this day, but definitely 20 years ago, still in the late 90s, it was being advertised as healthy. Like, oh, you got to have a cigarette. It'll make you better. And in China, it was still being advertised as healthy long after lung cancer scares and, you know, awful pictures of organs and stuff on the carton and things like that. Now, I did the survey same as you, and it said, do you think that this should be mentioned as dangerous? And I sort of thought, well, I mean, on a scale of what? Because I'm sort of, I think if you have a gin and tonic at the same rate that we seem to drink beer, that seems to be perfectly fine. That's what, like 2-3 gin and tonics a week. I think you're okay. Alcohol doesn't seem like it's the most dangerous in moderation, and it's that moderation thing. where, and I did check both cans, and of course the only warning I could find is on the nine locks. It does say, please drink responsibly.
Drink responsibly. That's what they do put them. Typically, do they not? They put that a lot of cans. Drink responsibly. And I mean, one person's drink responsibly ain't necessarily what another person's drink responsibly is. But of course, the onus is then on the imbiber, exactly the same way as smoking. But the smoking, of course, is different, that you don't smoke responsibly because it doesn't have any residual effects. It doesn't make you booze. It doesn't make you woozy or lose your consciousness that alcohol does. So, but I don't know. I think it's an interesting idea. It's an interesting idea.
What would you put on it? Would you have a large picture of an enlarged liver or...
Well, they do that, don't they? Of course they do. They scare the bejesus out of you with some of those pictures.
What is the scare? What is the scare of... What is the worst part of overindulging in beer?
A bloody big hangover next morning, I'd imagine, would be the number one.
Why beer is bad for you? At medicinenet.com, a big net made of medicine. That'll save us.
Obesity, diabetes, obviously. Clogging of the arteries, I believe it can do as well. It's got lots of sugar in it. Therefore, it's just not good for you. And alcohol pickles your liver, your... kidneys.
Evidence suggests, so let's start with the positives. As evidence suggests, drinking alcohol in moderation, there's this whole moderation, and please drink responsibly in moderation, it can have possible health effects. Like it reduces the risk of atherosclerosis, which is a word that I just pronounced. Coronary heart disease, heart attack, type 2 diabetes, blah, 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 blah. But the side effects, the bad thing. Excessive beer drinking cause immediate health effects, such as, would you like to hear the number one negative flushing?
Flushing. Oh, yes. I've got that right now. That was not excessive, though. Now I'm going back on it here. I'm now going to defend alcohol vehemently after saying what I just did.
So this is the excessive thing. Can cause negative things such as flushing and confusion. Trouble controlling emotions. Blackouts, drowsiness. So we're only into drunk. You get drunk is what these first six seem. I'm not sure what the long term. I'm looking for long term things. Irregular heartbeat. I love mishaps such as motor vehicle accidents, falls,
and
violent activities, alcohol poisoning. Okay, there we go. But that's like you gotta go really in there.
That's a 100 shot challenge.
Risky sexual behavior. Okay, never mind the short term stuff. That's just being drunk. What are the long-term health risks of excessive beer drinking? Here we go. Hypertension, high blood pressure, heart disease, hemorrhagic stroke, liver disease, digestive problems, malnutrition, cancer of the everything, mouth, throat, esophagus, larynx, liver, colon, rectum. So, whew, boy, is this just cancer in a cup here? Weakening immune system, depression, anxiety, memory loss, family problems, job problems, and alcohol use disorders.
And death. Eventual death. Well, they always say
everything. Yeah.
None of that sounded particularly positive. The last sort of 10 or so things you said there. But of course, drink responsibly. That's what the can says. Mm-hmm. So I've been drinking since I was sort of, you know, knee high to a grasshopper. And I'm still here.
Would you ever consider that you had drank excessively in all that time?
Yes, I've binge drunk on so many occasions. Of course I have.
Okay.
Of course I have.
You might have breast cancer, according to this.
I might have breast cancer. If that's the worst of my problems, that does sound still pretty bad, to be honest.
Yeah, so, you know, you haven't died of a stroke, you don't have heart disease, anything like that. But that's I think, long-term health risks of excessive beer drinking.
I've always thought, Ross, this is something that it might be a silly defense mechanism, or it might have some basis in truth. But I've always thought that because I wasn't a spirit drinker, a liquor drinker. Okay. There are people that drink a bottle of whiskey, like, you know, every three or four nights. To me, it's probably ridiculous of me to say this, but this is the way I've always felt. I've always felt that they had a problem with alcohol, whereas if I just have a couple of beers in the evening, even four or five nights in a row, if I have a couple of beers in the evening, I never see that as a problem, because it's something I do as a social, because I like the taste of beer. Sometimes, of course, I like to have a little more than a couple of beers, but just to relax and get a little bit beyond sober. But to me, someone that drinks a bottle of liquor every two or three nights,
that's a sloshiness, right, kind of addiction. I feel.
I think they're pickling their liver and a lot quicker than someone who maybe drink 14 pints in a week. Even though the guy drinking 14 pints in a week over a protracted period is probably going to have a rather significant problem with weight and all the associated risks that his heart has to deal with having a huge, big beer belly, which ain't good for nobody. I always thought that was slightly, even though it's ugly and it's not particularly healthy either, I always kind of placated myself with that's my drug of choice. A nice social beer, rather than someone who sits and drinks half a bottle of vodka in the evening. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yes.
And that's maybe wrong. It may be wrong of me to say that, and almost justifying my habit, if you will.
And I think that's what we're coming down to. We are justifying, but also at the same time, I think you can drink responsibly. I think we're making a case for alcohol in general. If you want to have, you know, if you are of, let's say, Ukrainian descendancy, and you like to have a nice, you know, just a little sip, a tiny glass of vodka every night, power to you.
Yep.
That's probably the same. And it would be about the same as having a beer or two. And not everyone needs to have that a night. Or if you have, you know, it's a Saturday night, I'm going to have a little sip of my vodka, my straight alcohol with my friends. I'm going to sit down and have some moonshine with my thing. But if you're not sloshingly fall about the place drunk on a regular basis, I would say that's probably the best form of... well, now we need to define drinking responsibility drinking responsibly, and what is excessive. What they're talking about, excessive beer drinking. And I think speech. And I'm not just saying that because I have always had the ability to enunciate myself well enough once I've imbibed a few beverages. But there's a fog that takes over, and
yeah,
I've never got to the blackout drunk thing. Like, they talk about this, and someone, you know, other people that I've met, they all say, oh, we had a really great night, oh, I completely passed out, I don't know what we did, you know, we raced around, I apparently played two rounds of golf. And I'm like, how do you, what, you just, you have that missing from your memory? That's a yeah, thing. If you're missing large chunks.
I have been there when in my 20s. As you know, I was in the Air Force, and we had some terrible sessions when I was in the squadron when I was younger. I'm not proud of it. I'm not going to say, yay, great. But of course, I did wake up the next morning and think, I don't quite remember getting into bed last night. So clearly I had way too many. But so I'm not going to lie and say I did. But blacking out and literally passing out and then waking up in a corridor somewhere or something, thankfully, I never got to that stage. But I've certainly got to the point where I'm like, I don't really remember getting home last night very well, but I clearly did it.
I think I did. I do remember once waking up on a bathroom floor.
Uh-huh.
I Do I remember getting all the way? Oh no, I don't quite remember getting all the way in the house for that. Oh dear. However, that was a rum and tequila night, so can't blame beer for that. That's fine.
Did you drink responsibly the rum and tequila?
I chose not to listen to the bottle slash can that night, but anecdotally, it was a real good night not to drink responsibly. Trust me.
Those are things you look back on and smile wryly as you grow older and think, that was a good night. I didn't feel particularly great the next morning. You came through it and you're still here. My point being, I guess right at the top of that was, I wouldn't have a problem. I don't want to see, like you say, I don't want to see pictures of terrible diseases going on inside people's bodies on the side.
That might be what they were asking us to do, though. You know, like, is it a vulture pecking at the corpse of a guy holding the beer can laying in a ditch? Is that the picture that we're gonna have?
I don't know. There's got to be a happy medium. And of course, they still. Some of the cans I see, not these two, but I know I have in the past. Maybe it's not here. Maybe it's even the UK. I forget. They have like that, the recommended maximum alcohol units per week. I've seen in the past 21 for men and 14 for women. Is the not recommended that you do that? Just say recommend that you drink 21 years. Just saying that. I mean, and I know these things change every fortnight. They'll come out with new data suggesting that that's actually wrong. There's too many. And then a week later, they'll come out and say, well, doctors actually say that, you know, two glasses of red wine a night is not actually blah, 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 blah. But it was always 21, as I remember, for men and 14 units for women, which is what, seven drinks really for women. Because a unit,
it's always slightly less for women, and I always felt a little bad about that. Go ahead and have another one after the ladies are done. And I was like, oh, that sounds like a very 1950s, your wife will drive home kind of vibe.
Yeah, you're out with your wife or something, and I think you've had enough done. No, I haven't. I can have half as many as you can again, so I'm going to have another half a pint. I know. I wouldn't have a problem with them having on the can, but I don't like literally. It's got drink responsibly here, and I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't feel that it was patronizing at all if the can said the recommended that don't go above this. And you know that alcohol in excess can lead to these things because we kind of know without you reading that horrendous list. That you just did. I think we all know what alcohol can do in excess.
Gout.
Oh, gout. Rebecca just said, did it mention gout? Oh, there's one more
gout
thing we got.
Gout did not come up. No, that was not listed anywhere on medicinenet.com.
Well, then, if that is the case, also, I understand that really too many heavy cheeses might precipitate the oncoming of gout as well. So if we start getting, I might have made that up. If we start getting warning labels on cheeses, I'm in real trouble. I'm in real trouble.
Beer, cheese, what else? Yeah, red meat. Shall we have another rare steak, please?
Shellfish, she says.
Ooh. Everything's dangerous. It's all awful. So, okay. I have asked the artificial intelligence to make a beer warning label, but I was very vague. I said, knowing about the dangers of alcohol consumption and the scare tactics of warnings on cigarette packages, could you just generate a warning label for beer cans or bottles? And I was thinking it's definitely not like shock value of medical organs and whatnot. It's very stick figure. I will send it to you post haste.
Please do. I want to see how AI, I want to see you do one of those things. Cause I hear when people say I generated this AI image and I think to myself, is there some kind of app that you need to do this? Or was it something you can just do yourself? Cause I haven't looked into it. I just heard when people say this is all AI generated. And I don't know how to. I sound like an old man. How do you do that? But I really have no idea.
I thought you were the one who mentioned this to me at one point, where what you can do in the, because you've now got like so okay here you go. Are you ready for this? I'm gonna blow your mind. In Facebook Messenger, where we chat and converse with each other, do you have a thing up at the very top where it says Ask Meta AI or search?
Yes.
Okay, that so started popping if you put up there, within the last year, so. Draw me a picture of Papa Smurf enjoying Thanksgiving dinner with Optimus Prime. And you do that.
Yeah.
And it will literally do that for you.
Oh, well then send me that. Send me that if you wouldn't mind. I'll have a good look at that later. I didn't know that's what Meta was. I didn't know that was an AI thing. I thought that was like one of these text speech things.
No, that's what you do. So I've got that in there and I've written it in to the AI thing. And now I have a conversation with the Meta 8 AI, and in my conversation with it, it's giving me a picture of literally of Papa Smurf having Thanksgiving dinner with Optimus Prime. So that's where you get this stuff. You can generate things. You just tell it, want me to add a giant turkey leg to Optimus Prime's robotic arm.
Is it asking you if you want it to do that?
Yep. Yes, make it a robotic turkey leg, though.
You have no idea how much fun I'm going to have as soon as this podcast is finished.
I'm telling you, it is such a good time. We have been using this to generate just stupid, silly, ridiculous, fun things. But it's there. Oh. Well, you didn't adjust that at all. They just put some nuts and bolts on the turkey in the middle of the table. Regardless, now that you've found the Meta AI, so it's just another piece, and it's the fastest way that I know that you can get to it would be through the Facebook messaging system, and you can just ask it things and talk to it.
I'll have a look. Do you recall? Oh, you just finished that. Did you recall that fairly recently we drank Foolishly Hoptimistic from Roofhound?
Yes.
And can you just bring it up? What did you think of it? What did we think of it?
Oh, dear.
On your little scanny, on your little Venn diagram. Not Venn diagram. Whatever. Pie chart.
I apparently did not record that one.
Okay. Well, I remember us thinking it was really rather good. We drank, three IPAs that night. And we thought they were all good in their own way. And I thought it was so good. All of them. And when I was in the liquor store a couple of weeks ago, I thought, oh, I'll get another one of those because I quite like that Foolishly Optimistic. I think, and it was on, I think it may have been on sale. I'm not sure. I got another one and I cracked it open and I was like, what? I don't recognize this smell at all.
Mm.
We
had it the same night as the Dishoom Dishoom. And the What in Tarnation. And I feel like the What in Tarnation from Two Crows, I really liked that one. I would get some What in Tarnation a whole bunch more.
I mean, if you'd have said to me a couple of years ago, you know, Ian's going into, and then I think I specifically picking up IPAs just for the evening, I'd have said, you're going mad. It's never going to happen. But it's happening way more often these days than you would give credit for. Anyway, I picked up this Foolishly Optimistic and we sat down there on the sofa that evening and popped on a Netflix special, I'm sure. And I cracked this thing open and pulled it. I thought, that smells a bit funny. It's not quite what I remember. Then I tasted it and I thought, I don't remember this thing tasting like cheese when we drank it a couple of weeks before.
No.
And I literally thought there are pangs of blue cheese in it and it didn't smell good. And I gave it along to Rebecca and I said, and of course she smelt it and she said, her quote was, oh, that smells like a skunk's ass. And that's not good in any way. And now she would know that because she worked for Hope for Wildlife for a little while, and she had a skunk in the back of her car, so she knows exactly what a skunk smells like.
What I was thinking was,
my question for you is, because what I then proceeded to do, Ross, even though I could tell something had gone wrong with the bottle, absolutely something had gone wrong with this bottle, because
dear.
It tastes
okay.
like this 2 weeks ago. I continued to drink it, even though I knew it tasted fucking awful. It smelled like rotten cheese, and it tasted like it too. But because I'd paid like $5 for a bottle, I thought, I'm going to drink it anyway, because, you know, I'm like, skunk fart
IPA. I'm there. I'd probably try it.
Yeah. So it wasn't the big stink from Les. It was literally the skunk's ass IPA, whatever it was. Would there come a point, and we talked about this weirdly a couple of weeks beforehand, and we said about, would you, you know, I said I had that beer that stuck to the bottom of my freezer and I still kind of chipped away at the ice and still kind of thawed it out crunchy, even though it was gone. Does there come a point where you're like, I'm not drinking that beer? Do you just pour beer away? Oh, there does.
Because I had one. We had one of the smokehouse ones. Something happened in the can, or the freeze thaw happened, and it popped, and it was open. And I had just taken it out, and we started the show, and then I realized, oh wait a minute, this has popped open, and I only noticed it the moment. And I went, I think, if I remember correctly, there were like little tiny floating bits of mold on it, just because had popped. It was there for it was like leaving a glass of orange juice, you know, in your basement for three months.
But if it was blue cheese, which is what this tasted like, blue cheese is moldy.
Make it a mold.
And I eat a lot of that.
Have a blue cheese. Yep. What would you make it? Would it be a blue cheese sour? No. Blue cheese red? No. Blue cheese IPA? No.
I drink it.
Someone had this conversation, and they said someone had made, because I tried bringing up the oyster stout, Sober Island's oyster stout, where all the oysters, it kind of tastes like fish. And then there was the crustacean elation, that weird lobster one from Saltbox that I loved, because it said, it's lobster. This is going to taste like salt water. And I went, yep.
Yeah. I know, the pine tree, even the first time we tried it 3 years ago, the pine tree one, we thought, this is awful, but I'm still going to drink it, because of course, the possibility existed that when I was drinking that beer that had clearly gone off, I mean, I was just unlucky. I just happened to pick up the can or the bottle that had gone off, and that's going to happen in every walk of life. You're going to get something that for somehow the packaging hasn't quite sealed or whatever, right? So I had no problem with that whatsoever, because I tried the Foolishly Hoptimistic a couple of weeks beforehand and really enjoyed it. Therefore, I knew there was something wrong with this bottle. But weirdly, it's like, it's just a different flavor. Sour beer, to me, tastes like skunk arsehole all the time. Most of the time. It's terrible. And yet, I'm going to drink it when we do this, just because, hey, it's something a bit different. Doner kebab beer. You can't say that you enjoyed that beer.
No.
But
it didn't taste off. The biggest problem I find is that sour beers taste off.
Off.
And you're sort of saying, has something gone wrong with it? And then someone says, no, that's the flavor. That's what it's supposed to taste like. And you think, But it smells like my compost bin. So you need to explain to me why moldy fruit is an acceptable flavor for a purchasable thing.
Yeah. Well, I didn't draw... That's not where I drew the line then. I didn't draw the line at the beer that smelt and tasted to me like blue cheese, a really strong Roquefort or a Gorgonzola or a really, really runny Stilton. But that's what it smelled like.
By this time, your breast cancer has got to be in stage 4 or plus.
No, I was literally drinking it thinking, I'm never going to taste a beer that tastes like this again. So I might as well just go with it because I should be okay. If I wake up in the morning, if I'm a bit rubbed in the morning, then there's all, you know, the hospital's only a few miles down the road. I'll make it. Okay.
Do you suffer from the same thing I do, where you have the luckiest immune system, where even if you're sick, you're not really that sick, and just no matter what you do to yourself, you don't seem to see any effect?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, maybe we're the wrong people to be hosting this show. I don't know.
This wee heavy, sorry, I beg your pardon, this Scotch Ale from Nine Locks is a certifiable 9 out of 10. It's ticking every box for a Scotch Ale, mate. It's got the caramelly, malty backbone and profile that I want from a Scotch Ale. It looks the right colour too. It's got the right body, and it's a knockout. Thank you very much.
I am very similar. And I feel like your wee heavy score will go down from there.
Yeah, it will inevitably, because it's, to me, it's not what I've come to expect from a Scotch ale. And that might be unfair, because maybe it's just that all the ones I've drunk look like this and taste like this, whereas the other one to me tastes like a chocolate porter, and it's a really good one, don't get me wrong, but it's not what I'm expecting when I open the can.
And it is what I am. So maybe there's a maritime thing, maybe there's a Nova Scotian thing where we've taken Scotch ale, Scotch, not Scottish, to another level. If you're just expecting this thick nectar of amazingness. I went up from my 9 logs score.
You're going. You went up.
Yeah, I went up.
Yeah. Well, I'm giving the Scotch Ale from 9 logs a 9, and the wee heavy, for a Scotch Ale, like sort of 6.5, but for a dark, chocolatey, caramelly porter, if that's what it was, I'd probably give it an 8.5 because it's really rather bloody tasty. That's the problem I'm having with it.
Can't tell what.
But it's a wee heavy. Yeah. It's a Scotch Ale, and it's not like a Scotch Ale.
I feel like there's a few more around that we might be able to try, but we might have to get back into a few more of the IPAs and the any IPAs for the next little while. Hopefully, talking to some more breweries and stuff in the future.
Yeah. I give my peanuts a solid 10 out of 10, even though I didn't get into them this evening at all.
Oh, it must have been good beer if you didn't even get into any of your nibbles.
I talked way too much, and I didn't even drink enough water. So I'm going to have to take care of that. Oh, Ross, I had fun as usual. I'm out of here. Cheers.
I totally forgot to even change my location. I've been sitting here at the Millstone Harvest Brewhouse location the entire time, and I didn't even switch over to 9 logs, but that's fine because we were at 9 logs last week, 2 weeks ago. We've done a bit of 9 logs. I'm trying to avoid all the delicious North Brewing ones we've got in there. Holy cow. We get onto a thing. But thank you, Ian, for joining me tonight. Thank you to Millstone Harvest Brewhouse for making your heavy re-releasing it. I feel like it's a thing now. I'm going to talk to Joe and Nicole about that. And then thank you to 9 logs for the Scotch Ale. Also, we are here every Wednesday night, usually Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. You can find our podcast in all the podcasty places. You can check out our YouTube page, youtube.com/@drinknsdry. We're drinknsdry on all of the other things, the Instagram, the TikTok, the YouTube, and the everything. But if you want to go straight to the source, you can go to drinkns.unsupervised.beer. And since we're here every week, we'll see you next week. Have a good night, everyone. And bye for now.